minutes away from Flashpoints. Today, a dreamer speaks out about Obama's immigration program, and the Supreme Court decision on immigration, and an anti-nuclear activist discusses the first solar-powered space capsule headed for Jupiter. And at 11 on Between the Covers, host David Naiman speaks with Chilean writer Lina Meruane about Seeing Red, her intense, visceral novel about the relation between the body, illness, and human relationship. That's all coming up right after Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia. It's headlines, interviews, and commentary coming right up here on The Boo. Hey, thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to be a founding sponsor of the Waterfront Blues Festival, the hallmark event for the Oregon Food Bank. This year, the festival will be held July 1st through 4th at Tom McCall Waterfront Park. Everyone will need a pass this year to see such artists as Dr. John and the Night Trippers, Liv Warfield and the Special Horns, Curtis Salgado, and many more. More information about passes, the performers, the role of the Oregon Food Bank, and more can be found at kboo.fm/WBF2016.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, June 30th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real radio for real people at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest, we're going to try to reach Steve Horn. He has on the Dismard blog always the first place that I look for. Really crack at, in reporting on environmental issues. In fact, no man's land between politics and environmental issues. Steve's always on point and a frequent guest on the show. We will try to get him here to talk a little bit about how this whole new Panama Canal fiasco was promoted and pushed through the legislative pipeline, so to speak, based on the promise of fracked LNG. That's why this new Panama Canal exists right now. That's something to think about, and it's something to hear from Steve Horn at the Smog blog. And we're going to hear from him about that. That's his latest thing in the Smog blog. If we can't get him on the show today, then I will definitely give you exactly where to go to find out what that report is all about. We also have Corey Saylor. He's the director of the Department to Monitor and Combat Islamophobia with CAIR, the Council on American Islamic Relations, and also a guest on KBOO from time to time. This is a serious time with the likes of Ted Cruz actually singling out the Council on American Islamic Relations as a terrorist organization. Some of what was said in the Senate this week is truly alarming. It should not be said in the Senate. And yes, we do have freedom of speech, but this type of fear-mongering, hysteria, false claims, this definitely ought to be monitored. And good people like you out there listening to this need to be aware of it and take every possible action available to counter the Islamophobia that's being ginned up across the country, Ted Cruz being one of the main proponents of it. Fancy that. He was almost set to be the proposed antidote to Trump. He could have been the Republican candidate. That's we came close. And now listen to what he's up to in the Senate. It's not good, people. It's not good. So today we've got a little bit of weather happening. Again, not any surprises in the weather department. It is pretty much the same pattern that we've seen all week. It's actually drizzled before 11, and it's clouds, of course, are burning off right now in places. And eventually a high near 75, probably creeping up into the 80s. Not much wind, 5 to 8 miles per hour tonight. Clouds increasing, moving in with a low around 57. Tomorrow, cloudy skies gradually clearing, and again, highs predicted around 76, likely to climb a bit higher the farther you go inland. Calm winds about six miles per hour in the afternoon. For Friday, again, the clouds move in as night falls, lows around 58. That's it for the weather. As promised, no surprises there. So we do want to talk about fracked gas and LNG exports as the centerpiece in promotion of the Panama Canal expansion. It was a nearly a decade of engineering work on the project. The expansion opened for business just this week. And, of course, this is the canal is a big news story, and as far as mainstream media is concerned, but what we really want to take a long, hard look at is the role that the promotion of fracked gas LNG exports played in levering the canal into place. And so we have back in Oregon Brian Cavalier. He is an Arizona tattoo artist. You have to wonder what an Arizona tattoo artist is doing in Oregon, stirring up trouble at the Malheur Sanctuary. But nonetheless, he was a so-called bodyguard for Ayman Bundy, and Cliven Bundy pleaded guilty to conspiracy and possessing a gun, should make that guns plural, in a federal facility. That he so pleaded guilty. These people are struggling mightily right now to spin their role in the occupation of Malheur as best they possibly can. Every step that the defense is taking in this process, the legal procedure, is subject to serious questioning. And a new analysis of Initiative Petition 28, that's Oregon's biggest ever corporate tax hike, that is likely going to show up on the November ballot, shows that the boost in business tax revenue and government jobs could be even greater than the state's widely publicized estimates from a month ago. Nothing but good coming from that. It's about time. Corporations have had a free ride. They've been promised that if they locate here, they'll live tax-free for 5 years in some cases even longer. So how that free ride regarding taxes in the first place, it is going to impact this ballot measure. We don't know. If they've been promised no taxes at all, well, then does that override a tax hike? Something to ask that no one's been talking about. We should talk about it. We should ask. And the Forest Service and Natural Resources Conservation Service and the American Forest Foundation said this week they plan to work with private property owners to reduce the risk of major wildfires and protect rivers in the West. Good. Well, somebody's going to have to do it. We don't know much about how to fight these new fires that we're seeing. They are far larger and far more unpredictable than forest fires we've seen in the past. Note, too, they're no longer called forest fires. These are called wildfires. Once again, hello, semantics! And authorities say they... I'm going to pass over that one and move right on. No, more news about the Montrose 9 in New York. That trial proceeds. But we've got Corey Saylor on the line waiting patiently now to talk about something that we all need to talk about. Because if we don't, if this is allowed to fester in the shadows, it only gets worse. And of course, we're talking about Islamophobia and the harm it has done to the fabric of the nation. Good morning, Corey. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, as always, for inviting me on.
Well, this is really something, what Ted Cruz has been up to. He brought on a major anti-Muslim conspiracy theorist to testify at a Senate hearing. This is so utterly preposterous. This individual testified. This is James Gaubatz, as a staffer at Understanding the Threat, founded by former FBI agent, as I understand it, John Rodolo. He's known for bizarre claims and erratic behavior. He's accused CIA Director John Brennan of being a secret Muslim convert. So all of this on the Senate floor, Ted Cruz proposing this. This should alarm people. Would you talk a bit about how it comes to pass that this happens, that we have the likes of Chris Gaubatz testifying in the Senate and at the behest of someone who was running for president?
Well, Ted Cruz is the chairman of the committee, and in the Senate, the chairman of the committee calls all the shots. So he can call a hearing on whatever he wants, and he can propose whatever witnesses he wants. And the only recourse the Democrats in the Senate have is they can add a couple of witnesses of their own to the hearing. And for context, there's two things that I think your listeners should know that sort of fed into this hearing. First of all, Ted Cruz was known for anti-Muslim positions while he was running his presidential campaign, such as the notion that we should surveil Muslim neighborhoods. Not that there's really Muslim neighborhoods anywhere in the United States, but he wanted to single them out for extra scrutiny. And he also named a number of members of the anti-Muslim movement in the United States to his National Security Advisory Committee. So he has that position already. And then the second point that I think your listeners should know is that a number of Muslims came to Washington, D.C. for a Hill Day in April. They were going and visiting with their elected officials to talk about pretty benign issues. And the delegation from Texas had repeatedly asked to meet with Cruz, never received a response over a period of weeks, which is highly unusual. And then when they went to the office to try to meet with just a staffer for a moment to hand them literature, they were denied even that. So that was raised as an issue at a press conference that Ted Cruz had refused to, and his staff had refused to meet with Muslim constituents from Texas, the state that he's supposed to serve. So in part, some of the things done at this hearing were payback for that press conference and that negative coverage they got.
Payback? In what sense? I mean, it seems to me that what Ted Cruz did as chairman of the committee is utterly irresponsible, I wonder what sort of about payback, but what about blowback in this case? I would imagine that conservatives in the Senate would be mortified. I would hope they would be mortified. Have what has been the response from his fellow members of the Senate?
I think, as in all things U.S. Congress these days, it was a very partisan split. So I have not seen any pushback from other Republicans. There was significant pushback from the Democratic members of the committee. And I think that's just an unfortunate state that we've reached on every issue, not just Islamophobia, but I mean, the whole range, is that our legislators simply see themselves as Republicans or Democrats, and it's very, very rarely that they're able to unite together to work to solve issues that are confronting this country or to address concerns such as anti-Muslim sentiment being given a prominent place in a hearing room in the U.S. Senate.
I just want to revisit this piece that I found on The Intercept. Apparently, Gobert said that he had worked, it's so awful, it's funny, as an undercover agitator. Yeah, well, as we know, of course, the Council of American Islamic Relations is full of agitators anyway, right? The mainstream Muslim group that advocates against Islamophobia and for civil liberties. Gaubatz apparently claimed Hamas the Islamic faction, the Gaza Strip, was doing business as CAIR, coordinating with Bin Laden and his associates, and had local Hamas. It's going to be a little rough. What are they going to do with coordinating with Bin Laden? What are they going to hold seances or something? And the local Hamas chapter offices. You have to laugh at this. This is so far, far out on the fringes.
That's how you try to manufacture falsehoods into truth. You just repeat the falsehood over and over and over again. So, you know, any reasonable thinking person knows that Hamas is on the list of foreign terrorist organizations. And what Chris did is pretended to be an intern and worked here at CAIR with us for several months, stole a number of documents from us, and that was used to write a book, which essentially proves that we are a pretty boring civil liberties organization, just like all the other ones. But they like to say that what they found is that we're somehow this nefarious, mustache-twisting organization with designs on, treasonous designs on our country. The bottom line, though, of that whole argument is that book came out several years ago. If there was a shred of truth to their allegations about us, we would be in jail, right? I'm on Capitol Hill right now as I speak to you. Muslims in the post 9/11 era, if you jaywalk, I'm exaggerating a bit, but if you jaywalk, you're going to get targeted, right?
Yeah.
So if there were any evidence to that, we'd be in jail. There's not. It's a false allegation that's been thrown at us for years. But welcome to being a public figure in the United States and, the era that we live in. Slanders like that are thrown at just about anybody who has an opinion, particularly ones that might be unpopular.
Oh, works for anything rational and good and in a desperate attempt to steer the ship of state on a reasonable course. Thank you so much, Corey. I'm so glad that you could take time to speak with us today. We'll put in, if listeners are curious about that nefarious CAIR website, then you have to go and take a look yourself. My guest has been, of course, Corey Sillies, the director of the Department to Monitor and Combat Islamophobia with the Council on American Islamic Relations. And this has been Aircast KDF for Thursday.